Outdoor Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I want to speak to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul was speaking to the church at Corinth. Now before I read the scripture that I want to read a scripture from Acts chapter 18 that tells us something about this church at Corinth. It was a very large church. Paul preached 18 months in Corinth for the establishment of this church, and this is when God spoke to him. Verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Corinth was a large city, and the Lord gave Paul the assurance that he had a whole lot of his people, his elect, those for whom Christ died, those who would believe the gospel. There were many people in this city. And Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and he says in chapter 2, verse 1, he reminds them of how he came to them when he first came preaching the gospel. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I made this my determination, not to know, not to esteem as important anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, Paul tells us how he came, and understand this, Paul is the model. Now, in every profession, there ought to be some kind of progress. I don't want to have a doctor who has not been to school recently, or one who hasn't been trained with 21st century techniques. Would you want a doctor looking at you that did what they did 200 years ago? Of course not. You would want one who has learned and benefited under all that people have learned. And in every profession, there ought to be some kind of advancement. I mean, building, whatever, there's advancement. But in this thing of preaching, if I am advanced beyond what Paul did, I'm wrong. I'm to do things exactly as he did it, exactly as the Scripture says. And when he came into Corinth, he said, "When I came to you," and this is the way I want to come, he said, "I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, when I preach, I want to speak well, and I want to do so in true wisdom. So when Paul says, "I didn't come with excellency of speech and of wisdom," he's not talking about true eloquence, speaking from the heart, speaking as inspired by God. And he's not talking about that true wisdom that God gives. He's talking about human rhetoric and human wisdom. "I did not come with excellency of speech." In verse 17 of chapter 1, Paul says to the church at Corinth, "For Christ sent me not to baptize." I didn't come to baptize people. Now, we believe in scriptural baptism. Baptism is the believer's public confession of Christ. Baptism by immersion. It pictures the gospel. When I'm baptized, I confess that my only hope is that when Christ lived, He lived for me. And when He died, He died for me. I was in Him. When He was raised, He was raised for me. I confess that. Baptism is very important. But our purpose is not to gain converts. Our purpose is not to build a church. Our purpose is not to get a following. Paul said, "I didn't come to baptize, but to preach the gospel." That's my purpose. "Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Now, what are wisdom of words? It's man's attempt to make the gospel understandable to the natural man. It's man's attempt to make the gospel more pleasing to the flesh. It's man's attempt to make God's gospel easier for a natural man to receive. It's dressing it up. It's packaging the gospel in a way that will make it appealing to the flesh. Now that's what wisdom, and that would describe most preaching in this day. It's preaching the gospel with the wisdom of words, trying to make it more appealing and more attractive to the flesh. Not preaching the naked truth as it is in God's word, but trying to make men more likely to receive it if we package it this way. Now Paul said, when I came, I didn't come preaching the gospel with wisdom of words, trying to package it in a certain way. You see, when we do that, all we do is make the cross of Christ of none effect. God will not bless that. He won't own it. No one is saved through preaching like that. No one is born of God. No one is born again. God does not use that. Why should He? He's God. He doesn't need our help and our inventions to help out His gospel. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And then he says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross. That word preaching could just as easily be called the word of the cross or the doctrine of the cross. The preaching of the cross. Now, the cross, listen to this statement very carefully. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the whole counsel of God. Now let me repeat that. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the whole counsel of God. Before time began, Christ was called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when time is over, the song of heaven will be, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And right now, there's only one message to preach, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the preaching of the cross, what is meant by the preaching or the doctrine of the cross? Is that simply talking about the fact that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to a cross, suffered, bled, and died? Well, that's certainly part of it, but why did He do it? What did He accomplish in doing it? Now, the cross, if you want to know who God is, the only way you'll know, and the only way I'll know, the true character of God is by what the cross tells us of Him. Now, the cross tells us that God is absolutely just. He will not let sin go unpunished. He said, I'll by no means clear the guilty. And when the sins of God's elect were placed upon Christ, the Son of God, He became guilty of those sins. And God did not clear Him. It was the justice and law of God that slew the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, men were allowed to do it, but God is just. God is holy. God hates sin. But oh, in the cross, we see the mercy of God. He gave His Son to save sinners. We see the love of God. We see the wisdom of God, how He's so wise that He's made a way to be just and yet justify the ungodly. We see His sovereignty and salvation with those two thieves. One He saved, the other He passed by. We see His power in putting away sin. We see His power in making people holy. It's all seen in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the true character of God. God cannot be known savingly apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only in the cross do we see the true character of God, we see the true character of man. Now, if you want to know what you're really like, don't just look at the things you've done or the bad things you've done. Those are bad. I'm not saying they're not. But don't look at the things you've done. Look at the cross. The one time men were allowed to do what they wanted to do, And God took away the restraints and left men to themselves, left men to their own will. They nailed His Son to a cross because they hated who He was and they hated His claims. They said, "We will not have this man reign over us." And when they were given the opportunity, they nailed Him to a cross. And that's how bad I am. That's how bad you are. If God left us to ourselves, we put Him out of business. Now, we feel comfortable with the false God that it's in our pocket and we can get Him to do whatever we want. We can manipulate Him and get Him to do this or not. No, but the God of the Bible, the absolute sovereign, holy God of glory, that God, by nature, we hate and we knock Him off His throne if it were in our power. Thank God it's not. But we would. The cross gives the true character of man. And the cross gives us the true character of salvation. That one who is hanging on the cross, when He said, "It is finished," He accomplished the salvation of everybody He died for. Jesus paid it all the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish. Foolishness. Those people who do not believe. Those people who see no glory in this message. They're perishing. They're under the wrath of God. They do not believe. These are people who are not saved. When they hear the preaching of the cross, to them it's foolishness. And that word foolishness means morally worthless. They see no beauty in the message of the cross. They see no glory to God in this message. They see no safety for themselves. They consider it morally worthless. But unto us which are saved. Oh, this is a group I want to be in. Those who are saved. Matthew 1:21 says, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Now, to those people who are saved, God's done something for them. He's done something about their sin. He's forgiven it. He's put it away by what Christ did. He's given them a new heart. He's regenerated them. They've been born from above. They're kept by His power. To those who are saved, the preaching of the cross is the very power of God. And the power of God, you know, only He has power. Any power you or I have is a borrowed power. We don't have any power in and of ourselves. I think of when Pilate came up to Christ and he said, "Don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you?" And the Lord said, "You wouldn't have any power at all over me, except it be given thee from above." The power of God. The power of Christ. The preaching of the cross is the power of God. Now, let me tell you something that only the power of God can do. Only the power of God can create. Only the power of God can bring something to existence that was not there before. And only the power of God can cause something that is to be no more. It's gone. It's obliterated. It's not there. You know, I've heard that matter can't be destroyed. It can change like a wood can turn into ashes when it's on fire and it changes form, but the matter itself cannot be destroyed. Energy is always here, but God can make something that is to not be. Only God can do that. And here's the power of the cross. God made me to be, through the cross, what I was not in any way. He made me to be righteous before Him. He made me to be holy. And my sin, which was most real, is put away so that it is not. Everybody Christ died for stands before Him without sin. To those who are saved, the preaching of the cross is the very power of God unto salvation. For it's written, verse 19, God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent," those who believe themselves to be wise. Verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, by its own wisdom, knew not God. You take the wisest men of the world. You take Socrates and Plato and Aristotle of the Greeks. They were the wise men just before the birth of Christ. And they were considered the most wise of this world. The world, by its own wisdom, knew not God. Canst thou by searching find out God? No, you can't. The world, by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. What's going on right now? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, Paul said, this is how I came to you. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And this is what true preaching is. It's nothing less than a declaration of the testimony of God. I'm not trying to embellish it. I'm not trying to help it. I simply declare it. The message of the gospel is not explained so much, but declared. And it's glorious mysteries that we believe. We don't so much understand them as believe them. Can you understand how God can be one God in three distinct persons? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit? No, I don't understand that, but I believe it. I believe it. Do you understand how God can take the sins of His people and impute them and charge them to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they become His and He becomes guilty of them? I don't so much understand that. I believe it. It's what the Bible teaches. Now, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. Paul said in verse 2 of our text, "For I determined, I made this my resolve, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I don't care about politics. I don't care about right wing or left wing. I don't care about all the issues. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have an opinion on issues, but it's not even important. Here's the only message of the preacher: to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who He is. He's the Son of God. He's God's Christ. He's God's prophet. He's God's priest. And He's God's King. He's the only Savior of sinners. We preach Him crucified. Not just the fact of His crucified, but what He accomplished by His death. I love that story of the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord appeared to James and John and Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He was glorified before them. His deity burst through His humanity. And the Scripture says His face shined like the sun. And there were two men talking to Him at this time. Moses and Elijah. The representative of the law and the representative of the prophets. And you know what they were talking about? Luke 9:31 says they spake of the decease which He should accomplish. You see, when He said it is finished, the salvation of all of the elect was accomplished. It was finished. Sin was put away. Righteousness was established for every one of them. There's only one message to preach: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Paul said, I made this my determination not to even know anything else, not to talk about anything else. Paul was a man of one subject. And by the grace of God, I want to follow in his steps. I want to be a man of one subject, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I determined not to know anything among you say Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then he says in verse 3, and I was with you when I came. Now remember, he came with the assurance that the Lord had much people in this city. And he knew the Lord had sent him there. And no doubt he was confident in that. But look at the way he says he came. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He didn't come with some cocksure, arrogant attitude. He said, I was conscious of my own weakness and my own insufficiency for the task of preaching the gospel, knowing that if the Lord doesn't build the house, our labor's in vain. It must be His work and His work alone. I was with you in fear of misrepresenting God, afraid of myself, knowing how easily I could be deceived apart from the grace of God, much trembling. Not some kind of cocksure, arrogant attitude. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And if Paul came that way, that's the way every preacher of the gospel ought to come. With an attitude of weakness, knowing my own weakness and my own need of His grace, my own need of His revelation, my own need of His help. Fear and much trembling. And then he said in verse 4, when I came to you, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come with enticing, persuadable words of man's wisdom. You see, I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything. I'm not trying to entice you to believe. My job is to preach the truth and leave you alone with God. Not using enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, if I talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. We're not interested in that. You know the way churches try to train people to be witnesses. Have you ever thought about how corrupt that is? To train someone to be a witness? You are a witness if you've seen something. And when you give testimony, you testify what you've seen. You don't need to be trained to do that. There's something corrupt about that. You speak what you've seen. You give testimony to what you've witnessed. That's what a witness does, and that's what a gospel preacher does. He preaches that which God has taught him. He's testifying. We're not using enticing words of man's wisdom, trying to present the gospel in such a way that we can affect you with it, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We preach the truth and completely rely on God the Holy Spirit to work faith in His people. Now, I tell the truth, and I'll leave you alone. And I ask the Lord to do something for you. I ask Him to do something for me, looking to the power of God, not human power, but the power of God. The cross is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then He says in verse 5, here's why I did this. Here's why I came, not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Here is why I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Here is why I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And here is why my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Here's why, that your faith, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now that word stand can just as easily be translated be. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but that your faith should be in the power of God. Now, the power of God. What a glorious subject. What a glorious thing to think about. The power of God. The power of God is His ability. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God's ability. I want your faith not to stand in man's wisdom, but in God's ability. Salvation is of the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he is able. There you go. He is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. The Lord said, thou hast given him power. Talking about himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And what power is displayed in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now here's where we see the mighty power of God. On the cross, God made my sin to where it was not. And now I stand before God justified. Now, understand this about justification. Justification is not, as some people say, just as if I never sinned. Justification is, I never sinned. You see, my sin became Christ's sin, and He put it away. He was manifested to take away our sins, and that's what He did. In Him is no sin. If I'm in Him, I have no sin. I stand before God just. What power that God could actually put away my sin and make me absolutely righteous in His sight. What power is displayed in the new birth when I'm given divine life? Scripture says we're partakers of the divine nature. What power is displayed by God in the fact that I'm kept and that I haven't fallen away and that I continue in the faith? What power will be displayed when I'm made to be perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, the power of God. Now, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture in closing. He said, I don't want your faith to stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1:16. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, Paul warned us of those who have a form of godliness. They're religious. They go from the Scriptures. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. If you see a light bulb shining, how would you deny the power of it? Well, first you could deny it by denying the source of the power. Or you could deny it by denying the means through which that power is carried. Or you could deny it by denying the reality of that power, denying that the light is shining. Now, men having a form of godliness, a form of our religion, and yet denying the power thereof. You deny the source of the power when you put it in man rather than God. If I'm saved, it's because of the will of God, not because of my will. If I give man's will the credit, I've denied the power thereof. You can deny the power by denying the means of the power. It's the gospel that's the power of God into salvation. That's all God uses is the gospel. And if I think salvation can come apart from the gospel message that I've just preached, I deny the power of God. Or you can deny the source of that power. I mean the reality of that power. And you do that when you say someone is saved when they don't believe the gospel or when they're walking contrary to Christ. You say, well, they're saved anyway. And no, that's denying the reality of the power of God's salvation. Oh, Paul says, I want your faith to stand, not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, we have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Niver praying that God, by His power, will be pleased to make Himself known to you.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.